on the line. We're joined by a very special guest here on the line. We have one of the newest members of the Ben Davis Alumni Wall of Fame. It is Mr. Dana Webb joining us on the line. How are you, Mr. Webb?
Doing very well. Please don't call me Mister. That was my dad.
Well, Dana Webb, of course, you graduated from Ben Davis in what year?
1968. But I was there in my sophomore year in 66 when the building was new and the radio station came on the air.
So tell us about that experience. That had to be pretty interesting.
I remember we got there in September and they kept saying, well, we're going to have this radio station. And there was a studio built, but the transmitter and the antenna had not been approved by the FCC at the time. They were in place. We could go and turn it on. And finally, we got approval and went on the air, I believe it was in February of 66. And I was in the studio that day, although I was not the first one to speak. I was there that day when we signed on. And I never will forget how excited everybody was. And then at the same time, later on, I realized we were only 10 watts. And the light bulb above my head was 10 times more powerful. But I thought it was a big deal, and so did everybody else that was there. And, you know, we broadcast probably across the parking lot. But it was still fun, and I never will forget that. And it started a great career for me, and I will always be thankful for Wayne Township for doing that.
Dana Webb joining us here on the WBDG 53 Marathon. He is Ben Davis Alumni Wall member, and also, I believe, in the mid-'80s, the CMA Disc Jockey of the Year.
Oh, yeah. I won that on national television back in 19, I believe it was 86, but I'm getting too old to remember. But they give awards to the best air personality in the area of country music, and I happened to win it that year, and it was a very nice honor. But I had been doing a television show at the same time, and I was interviewing. Not only did I have my radio show locally there on a radio station that's no longer there in Indianapolis, but it was WIRE. I had a TV show, and I would interview, you know, like Barbara Mandrell and Ann Murray. And so I got to know all these people pretty well, and so they were there to support me for that position, and I was very, very thankful.
Guys, do you have any questions for Mr. Webb? Dorian?
Was this like the first, was this something new and something reason to do for a school? So that's why most of y'all was excited, because it was like something very new?
Yeah. You know, up until that point, communications departments in high schools had mostly the yearbook and the newspaper. And then you might have had a class on broadcasting, but we had both the radio station and then a TV station. For us is different than what I saw when I was back there a few weeks ago, in that we would broadcast throughout the building. You know, it was a closed circuit, as they called it back then. So we had a TV studio, but you could pick it up in any room in the entire school. But that's the best we could do, and so that's what we cut our teeth on. But just to be able to remember it, back then, the videotape was just becoming, we could record ourselves and watch it back. Mm-hmm. And that was just like unheard of, you know. And then it was in color also. And, you know, there were just, in 66, we'd just seen some of the programs commercially go in color. I remember when Bonanza came on the air, and it would come on and then say, in living color. Well, they wouldn't say that today because that's just taken for granted. But that was a big thing back then. And so not only did we have color broadcasting throughout the in television, but then the radio station, of course, went out through probably further than the parking lots. I think it went out to some of the neighborhoods like Chapel Glen maybe, but it didn't go that far, that's for sure.
How responsible were you at the time with it? Like, how responsible were you guys with it since it was fairly new? Like, is there, like, new things y'all hadn't learned about what to say, what not to say, what to do?
Yeah, there was a lot of that. Of course, the big thing back then was the FCC was a lot more controlling, I will say. And there was a lot more things you couldn't do. Some of the music that I hear nowadays, we'd never gotten away with. There are still, I'm sure, some things you guys cannot say. I've been away from it, so I probably, you would know better than I do. But we had to watch even innuendos that you can get away with today that we couldn't do. So there was a lot of time spent on, okay, be careful. And then there was a lot of formality. It wasn't, remember, this was just coming out of the era when radio was a different radio show every half hour. And it might be like a soap opera, or it might be like we have primetime television today. There were radio shows on. Amos and Andy and it was a comedy show. You know, Gunsmoke was on the radio before it was on television. And so you were coming from this era where people did live broadcasts of, and they played different parts. And so this was a transition time over to hosting a music show at the same time. So we had to learn both. And I'm glad because it taught us to speak off the top of our heads and to play different parts. And we could do that when we were on the air or when we were playing a part in some of these documentaries or some of these shows that we would broadcast.
Caesar, you have any questions?
Yeah, actually, I have one question that I've been thinking about since you said that you actually basically witnessed the birth of WBDG 53 years ago in 1966. How have you seen radio or just television change from the first time you stepped into the radio station to now, or a couple weeks ago when you stepped into our radio station again?
Yeah, well, there's two answers to that. There's the technical side, of course. I noticed you didn't have any tape machines. And we would, you know, edit everything on tape with scissors and razor blades and splicing tape. So those are the days when it was you had to really learn how to do your craft manually, where now you can do it, you know, electronically and digitally. So not only the improvement on the technical side would be one thing, but you know, I left there, and after winning the award that you mentioned earlier, I ended up owning radio stations, and I watched it from that vantage point, too. And I can tell you that the days when broadcasters were in control was the most fun. But we moved away from ownership by broadcasters to ownership by those who were investment professionals, much like I am today. And when people who did not understand what made radio great began to own radio and television stations for the purpose of the bottom line, to create shareholder value, the whole feeling inside of a radio station changed. And fighting to hold on to that must be tough today. I mean, you can see it it's held on a little bit in talk radio, at least here in where I live in Omaha, Nebraska. The music stations have become so lack of personality too often, and that's a shame because we had some very creative personalities. And when they do have creative personalities locally, it's usually in the morning. You don't see that creative afternoon guy that you hear on the way home. It's more liner stuff around here anyway. I don't know about Indianapolis.
Well, Mr. Webb, we know – I'm sorry, Dana. We know that you you called us in, called here at the last minute. We contacted you this morning, so we really appreciate you jumping on with us here, and you know, reminding us of the history of WBDG, and you know that is pretty awesome that you were here on the day it went on the air. So
yeah, I love calling back in every year, and I wish you guys the best of luck and keep doing that thing. Any chance you guys are gonna get more power later on too? I mean, is that a possibility? I don't know how it works anymore.
Well, we're at 400 watts, which I think we were at when you were left the station. Mm-hmm. I think that we had just moved there. And then it was kind of ironic, I was thinking, because when we were doing the promotion for the marathon, one of our students appeared on Channel 6 News. And I know that you remember that you had to fight Channel 6 pretty hard to even get the station here at Ben Davis.
Yeah, it started there at 10 watts, but when we wanted to go to the 400, they successfully lobbied and moved their transmitter out to Channel 20, which at the time, I don't know if it's still there, was so far away that even at 400 watts, it could barely make it back to Wayne Township. So the whole idea was to bring the 400 watts back to its current location. And that took a lot of doing, several years, but we finally got it done before. And that was during the years when I was back there as the general manager of the station, not when I was a student there, which would have been from 73 to 1980 was that battle there when we got it moved back. But I didn't know whether there was any option in the future of increasing power at that location, because I don't know what all the rules are nowadays. But if you do, I'd be on board for you, so go for it.
Well, thank you. We did move to HD last year, so we are broadcasting two channels now.
Good.
So we're doing that, but we are just the 400-watt analog still, which is, it's so cool how that HD works. It was a bit of a headache when it started, but now that it's kind of everything's been ironed out, it's pretty cool.
Good for you.
Well, thank you again so much for everything, because we wouldn't be here if it weren't for the work you did when you were station manager and general manager of WBDG, and as a student. Really appreciate everything, and I'm glad that you're on the alumni wall as well. That's That's awesome.
And I thank you for the nomination. I appreciate it. And if you guys need anything, you give me a call.
All right. Thanks, Dana.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Dana Webb joining us here on the WBDG 53 Marathon. And